Morning. My name is Stuart Mizell. I'm the pastor here, and it's good to see all of you here. Thank you for joining us both in person and online. Thank you for if you're visiting with us. We really appreciate you showing up again, either in person or online. So today we are moving forward with our new series that we started last week entitled Pray. Last week, at the end of the sermon, I gave a very brief and very simple action plan. And I'm just really wondering, and I know I'm not asking for you to give response, but I'm just really wondering, how did it go last week? What I asked everyone to do is to pray every day about whatever it is that's going on in your life. No matter what it is. How did it go? Did you do it? Did you not do it? Did you do it and you said, I don't see any difference? Did you do it and then you found out, wow, something, God is doing something here? It's not too late to try again this week if last week didn't work out well. To take every day and just spend a few minutes saying, Lord, this is what my day is like. This is what I'm going through. Meet me where I am. And I would encourage you all to continue to do that or to pick it up if you haven't. Today, we are moving forward. We're looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, about what Jesus says about a specific type of prayer that we are called to pray. So let me remind you, these are the words of Jesus. These are the words of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King who died for his people so that we would have life and have it to the full. These are his words. So let's hear what he has to say from the Gospel of John, verses 12 through 14. Jesus is speaking and he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Let's pray. Jesus, teach us to pray in your name today. You've made a really big promise that whatever we ask in your name, you will do it. And even before that, saying that we will do even greater works than what you have done. Lord, we don't understand. So help us to understand. Empower us by the Spirit, not only to understand, but to believe and to act and to pray in the way that you call us to. And truly, we want this prayer to be in your name, Jesus. Amen. I would love for you to think about something just for a minute. And it's not going to be comfortable. Well, I don't think it will be comfortable. But everybody here has a last name. And when you go into a store and you say, my name is, like for me, I say, my name is Stuart Mizell. Nobody really reacts to the last name Mizell negatively. Or every once in a while, I'll say, oh, are you related to the Mizells over in such and such? Or the Mizells over in such and such? And I'll say, I have no idea who you're talking about. But that's about it. There was that one time where someone said, are you Italian? And I thought, does Mizell sound Italian? But other than that, it's the way when we use our last name, normally people don't say anything about it. But what if, and just imagine, what if your last name was Hitler? Hitler, as in Adolf Hitler. What kind of difference do you think that would make in your life? When you go into a store and they say, okay, well, who is this for? Like you're at Chick-fil-A and they say, okay, whose order should I put this down? And you say, Hitler. How do you think people would respond? Well, that's part of the premise behind a 2014 documentary called Meet the Hitlers. People with the last name of Hitler, and sometimes another name of Hitler, either a first name or a middle name, and as you might have guessed, Meet the Hitlers dives into the lives of people who have that name and how people react to it. And it explores how much a person's life can be influenced or impacted simply by having a name of someone who was the most hated man in the 20th century attached to them. And as you can imagine, people with the name Hitler aren't always treated well. This shows that having a name attached to something or someone can have great significance, especially if that name is famous or infamous or powerful. I'd go so far as to say that there is a consequential weight when we attach a significant name to ourselves or to something that we do. If you do something in the name of someone else, that's putting a lot of weight on what it is that you are doing. And that's why we need to talk about this today. It's something that many of us try to do as Christians, but what does it mean when we say we're going to pray in the name of Jesus? So first of all, that's what we need to recognize, is that God does call us to pray in the name of Jesus. God calls us to pray in the name of Jesus. As this passage says, this is Jesus, again, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, speaking to his disciples, speaking to us by the Holy Spirit, saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." Notice, Jesus is saying there is a connection between him as the leader, as the King, as the Lord, and what his followers do. There is a connection. And then he even goes so far as to say, greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Lots of people have different interpretations and understandings of what that means, but there is at least this in mind, that Jesus intends on us carrying on his ministry. At the very least, at the bottom level, Jesus says, we the church, we his people, we his disciples, we are to carry on his mission. And then in verse 13, he says, whatever you ask in my name, this is what I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And so we see this is what Jesus is saying. When you pray, pray in my name. Now, for some of you, you're saying, Stuart, I've grown up in the church. I have always prayed in the name of Jesus. Every single prayer I ever pray, I always end in the name of Jesus. Well, what if I told you that some of the most heinous prayers ever prayed in the history of the world have ended with the words, in the name of Jesus? Just because we tag on a phrase at the end of our prayers does not necessarily mean that we are praying in the name of Jesus. I mean, think about how many famous or at least infamous church people who are in the media who have prayed for something outrageous, like, I want a jet, and I want this big, beautiful jet so that I can fly all over the world, and in the name of Jesus. So I'm praying and asking for you to pray that God will give me a jet. Does anybody say, hey, wait a second, why do you need a jet personally? Isn't there another way that God can use you in ministry besides you personally owning a jet, right? And I bet we could add numerous different examples about this kind of thing where people pray things, quote unquote, in the name of Jesus, and we sit back and think, wait a second, something's not right about that prayer. Just tagging the phrase in the name of Jesus on the end of a prayer does not make it in the name of Jesus. And how do I know that? Because the scriptures don't bear that out. All right? Look through the New Testament. Look through it yourself. Find a prayer in the New Testament that actually ends with the words, in the name of Jesus. Find it and show it to me. What you will find all throughout the entire New Testament are prayers that are prayed in the name of Jesus without actually using that phrase. Just because we use the phrase doesn't mean we're praying in the name of Jesus. Now, don't hear something that I'm not saying. I am not saying that we should never pray with the phrase in the name of Jesus at the end of our prayers. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. Please don't take that away from what I'm saying. What I am saying is just because we say that doesn't mean we're actually praying in the name of Jesus. Everybody understand the distinction there? You know, nod your head like a good Presbyterian so I know. Okay, thank you. All right, so what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? Well, praying in the name of Jesus involves at least two things. At least two things. First, praying in the name of Jesus involves embracing the truth that our access to God the Father comes solely through Jesus. We start there. To pray in the name of Jesus starts with the fact that we know that our access to God the Father comes solely through Jesus. You know, think about a king who he sits in his throne room and he's got guards and security. He's got people all around him. He's got servants. And you're just some Joe Schmo from off the street and you want to come in and talk to the king, it's probably not going to happen. You have to have been given access first. And if you happen to be a criminal in that kingdom, it's even less likely that you're going to be able to have access to the king. That's very similar to what our experience is that we have a king of the entire universe, the God of all, the God who's created all, the God who sustains everything, the God who every single molecule in the universe obeys his orders, and yet we don't. And it would be arrogance for us to think that we could just rush in to the king's presence and say, here's what I want, apart from there being an offer and access given first, right? I want you to think about a few verses from passages of scripture. First of all, from Matthew 11:27. I just happened to be reading through Matthew this week and came across this passage and I saw, thank you, Jesus, that this is part of what you say in your word. So all things have been handed over to me. This is Jesus speaking. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. You see that? Jesus is saying, you can't really know God. You really can't come to God unless you come through me first. and I give you access. Or think about John 14:6. Jesus says to one of his disciples, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I remember when I was at a Duke Divinity School doing a master's degree, there was a class that it would have made some of your hair like stand on end, some of the weird things that were being said in a class. But one thing I will never forget that was said by one of my fellow students about this passage, one of them said, you may be going to some God somewhere, but you're not going to the Father of Jesus unless you come through him. You may be going through some God somewhere, but you're not coming to the Father of Jesus unless you go through him. And then there's the passage that we read as our confession of faith today from Hebrews. Since then we have a great high priest, that's Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you see what he's saying there? He's saying that if we were to go before God on our own, we would not be heard. We would not have access like we do with Jesus. But with Jesus being our great high priest, when we're trusting in him and believing in him and looking to him, we can come boldly into the presence of God and lay our requests before him, knowing that we will receive mercy and help in our time of need. That is beautiful. And that Christian, that believer, that follower of Jesus is part of what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. We recognize nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross of Jesus I cling. I do not come before God on my own merits. I do not come saying, hey, I had my quiet time today, I read my Bible, I prayed, I did this, I did that, I even did some justice things out in the neighborhood. Look, I am a good person. Listen to me. Doesn't work. It's only through Jesus that we can access the Father and know that we're heard. That's part of what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. That's the first. But praying in the name of Jesus also involves something else. It involves aligning our desires and our requests with the objectives and priorities of Jesus. You want to pray in the name of Jesus? Yeah, you start with, I come as a sinner saved by grace because of Jesus, because he died for my sins and rose from the dead, I am able to enter your presence, and only because of that. And now I get to ask for a DeLorean with a flux capacitor and know that I'll get it. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. But to ask for something ridiculous. And is that the way that Jesus says that's what it means to pray in a name? Hey, I said in the name of Jesus, please give me a DeLorean in the name of Jesus. No, that's not how it works. No, to pray in the name of Jesus not only means we recognize who we are and we can only have access through Jesus, it also means that we align our desires and our requests with the objectives and priorities of Jesus. You know, it is definitely a universal temptation to pray for what we want without a lot of thought as to whether it lines up with what Jesus wants. Right? I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie Amadeus, but it's about, well, in one way, it is about the composer, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. But in another way, it is really about the man Antonio Salieri. And he was another composer during that time. And in the movie, it shows how a young boy, Salieri, prays that God would make him a famous composer. And here's the specific prayer from that movie. Lord, make me a great composer. Let me celebrate your glory through music and be celebrated myself. Make me famous through the world, dear God. Make me immortal. After I die, let people speak my name forever with love for what I wrote. And in return, I will give you my chastity, my industry, my deepest humility, every hour of my life. Amen. That's word for word the prayer in the movie. And then when Mozart comes on the scene, and Mozart is better than Salieri, and Mozart is getting more popularity than Salieri, and Salieri gets embarrassed by Mozart because Mozart is just so much better. Salieri takes, he's a devout Catholic, he takes crucifix off his wall and he places it in a burning fire while he's saying this, and this is his second prayer in the movie. From now on, we are enemies. You and I. Because you chose for your instrument a boastful, lustful, smutty, infantile boy and gave me only the ability to recognize that incarnation, you are unjust, unfair, unkind, and I will block you, I swear it. Now, here's an obvious question. Were either one of those prayers in Jesus' name? Obviously not. What Salieri really wanted was, yeah, some glory for God, but really he wanted glory for himself. And then when he didn't get it, he blamed God and he threw away his faith. Now, I know that's just a movie. But how many times in our lives do we come before God in a prayer, with any kind of prayer, and think, if God doesn't do this, well then maybe he doesn't exist. Or maybe he just doesn't love me. Or maybe, you know, God just doesn't like what I am wanting to do. God's just against me. But what are we basing that on other than only our own thinking, our own understanding? We're leaning on our own understanding and not coming to the scriptures and saying, is there something that I'm doing that is not in line with who Jesus is? Compare what Salieri prayed to what we often call the Lord's Prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer. It's the prayer that Jesus gave as a model prayer. And we will, Lord willing, talk about that at another sermon. But for today, just recognize that, you know, our Father, let your name be set apart all over the world. Let your name be holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Meet our daily needs. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, and lead us away from temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the glory, the power, forever and ever. Amen. Right? This is what it means to align ourselves with Jesus. To pray as he tells us, this is what it really means to pray in my name. Those are the kinds of priorities. Those are the kinds of requests that Jesus says, these are appropriate. These are in my name. And as just real quick, further confirmation that this is the case, that we're to align ourselves with Jesus knowing that that is what it means to pray in his name. Here's a passage from John 15, and I'm going to have to skip some of the passages because I don't want to explain every single thing because it's not a sermon on this passage, but about prayer in Jesus' name. But listen to what Jesus says. He starts off by saying, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Here Jesus is saying there's got to be connection between me and you. Then he goes on to say, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from abiding in Jesus, nothing we do has eternal significance for good. And then he goes on in verse 7 to say, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Again, we're connected to Jesus. He is the life-giving sustenance for us in order to be able to know what it is that we're supposed to pray about and what we're supposed to do and what kind of fruit we're bearing. And then he says, when his word abides in us, that's when we're thinking along the way of what Jesus says. And that means we can ask whatever we wish and it will be done for us. "By this my Father is glorified," Jesus says, "that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." And then Jesus goes further to say, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." See the connection? In the name of Jesus is not just a phrase that we tag on the end of our prayer. It means that we are abiding in Jesus. We are growing from His sustenance. We are becoming more like Him. We are aligning ourselves up with Him. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. But here's the kicker, all right? Here's the thing that should get us really excited about this. When we pray in this way, when we pray in the name of Jesus, starting off by recognizing that we're sinners and we have no right to come into the Father's presence except through Jesus, and recognizing that my will is not necessarily Jesus' will, so I'm going to try to align myself with Jesus. I'm going to try to bring my requests and my desires in priority with what Jesus thinks is most important. When we pray in that way, we know, not think, not maybe, not believe, but it might not be true. We know we will receive what we ask for. That's Jesus' promise. Jesus, who cannot lie. Jesus, who died for us to bring us into the family of God. Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He rules over all, and His name is above every single name. When we pray in that name, we know we will receive what we ask for. Again, our passage from today from John 14, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." As I've been thinking about this, there's one passage in Scripture that has gotten me super excited recently. And it's a passage that I've preached on before. It's a passage that I've written about before. It's a passage that I have talked about numerous times, but I am more excited about it now than I ever have been. Why? Because I've seen it in connection with what Jesus is saying here. If you pray in my name, if you pray what my will is, it will be done, right? And you know what the passage is? It's 1 John 5:16. 1 John 5:16. Here's what it says. If anyone sees his brother, right, that means a fellow Christ follower, whether male or female, brother or sister. If anyone sees a fellow Christ follower, his brother, his sister, committing a sin that not leading to death. Now, there's a whole host of things we could say about that. But real quickly, I think the sin that leads to death is going away from Jesus. Because he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. You turn away from Jesus, that is a sin that leads to death. You cannot know whether you will have life if you're moving away from Jesus. In fact, all things indicate you don't have life. Okay? So if anyone sees a fellow follower of Christ committing a sin, any sin except for this one, leaving Jesus, the person shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit a sin that does not lead to death. Here's the point. If you see someone who is sinning, don't go to your neighbor and talk about it. All right? If you see someone who is doing something that's wrong, don't go gossiping about it and say, "Can you believe this person's doing this? I can't believe that." No, go to your Father. Go to your God and say, "Look, you promise in your word that if I see a brother or sister who is sinning, they're going off the deep end, they're going somewhere that's not good for them, and I love them and I care for them, I want to pray for them that they will turn back, that they will repent, that you will give them life. Give them life, Father." God promises that he will do that, because that's praying in the name of Jesus. What if we, the church, prayed that way for one another? What if when we saw sin in each other's lives, we didn't like gossip about it, but we went into our prayer closet, so to speak, and we prayed, "Lord, please give this person life. Give them repentance. Give them what they really need. They are one of yours. Show it. Prove it by changing them from the inside out, and let real repentance be demonstrated." Man, wouldn't that be awesome? And then we couldn't look at somebody and say, "Oh, well, you know, he's just a lost cause." No, 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 no. If God says he will do it, there is no lost cause. The only lost cause, according to this, is those whose sin leads to death. And even there, John is very careful to say, don't pray about that person. He says, "I do not say that you should pray for it." I'm not saying that you have to pray for that person, but you're obligated to pray for your brother or your sister who you see sinning that's not like this. Because that's the means, one of the means, that God is going to bring that person back to life. Man, I'm telling you, that has gotten me excited recently, because sin is everywhere. It's in my life, it's in your life, it's in the lives of everyone around us. And to know that I can pray, and it might not happen right, it might not happen today, it might not happen tomorrow, it might not happen this year, but God promises it will happen. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we will receive what we ask. All right, so the final thing that I want to do today is give you another action point. All right, last week's action point, it was pray every day about something that's going on in your day. Like, whatever's going on, just pray about it. Today's action point is this, or this week's action point is this. In every prayer we pray, let's actively and consciously seek to pray in the name of Jesus. Every prayer, actively, consciously seek to pray in the name of Jesus. What I mean by that is most of our prayers end in the name of Jesus. What if we turned that around and started, "Okay, God, I want to pray in the name of Jesus today." And sometimes I don't pray that way. I recognize that. I want you to teach me to pray in the name of Jesus. I want to come to you knowing that I have nothing to bring to the table except for my sin, and Jesus is my all in all. Let me come boldly into your presence because of that, and then help me to align the desires of my heart with the desires of Jesus' heart, so that when I pray, I'm praying what He wants done here on earth, and let me do that, and let me see You answer that prayer, because You promise that You'll do it. That's the action point for this week. Let every prayer we pray, let's actively and consciously say, I want to pray in the name of Jesus. Help me, Jesus, to pray in Your name. All right. So, you got two assignments. Pray every day about whatever's going on and seek to pray in the name of Jesus. So let's pray in the name of Jesus, folks. Let's pray in Jesus' name, knowing that such prayers will truly be powerful and effective. Let me pray for us that we'll be able to recognize that and act on it. Father, help us to pray in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that really know what it means to humble ourselves before You, to not trust our own understanding, to not even trust our own desires, but to want our desires to be shaped and molded by You, so that we will pray lining ourselves up with Your will, that we would pray as Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but Yours be done. Will You give us that ability, Holy Spirit, so that we truly will pray in the name of Jesus? And I ask for all of these folks. I know there are people who don't pray or who don't pray on a regular basis. Would You, because they are Your children, work in them that they cannot go a day without engaging with You? I know there are many of us who pray very selfish prayers. Will You convict us and show us how to move our prayers in the direction of Your kingdom and Your glory? I know there are times that all of us have issues where we don't pray as we should. Would You teach us and convict us and move us, cause there to be real repentance and life in us, that we would pray truly in Jesus' name. Amen.